So we looked at, we sang that song, didn't we? The name of Jesus. And they're singing about that Jesus gave them a song. And we sang that song, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. I don't remember, I'm sure Mr. Ramos remembers this, but it's not just a romantic passing notion, this name of Jesus, is it? I think he was talking about someone on the bus ride or something that had tattooed the name of his girlfriend on his neck. And then when they broke up, that was pretty awful. And I remember he just said, talk about necromancy. Kind of not. I still remember that. But here's a name that you can take with you, not just in this life, but through all of eternity. This name stands apart from every other name, doesn't it? Stands apart from every other name. The name of Jesus is so sweet. Let's turn in our Bibles to. Is this one? Turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. So here in Acts, we see that it actually grieved the religious leaders that they were preaching in this name of Jesus. It's almost like they said, well, go ahead and preach, just don't preach in that name. If you want to preach in, you know, go ahead and say wonderful things, but just don't speak. So Acts chapter 4, verse 2, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. And of course, they were preaching, and it's like, well, it's almost like, go ahead and preach, just don't preach in that name. And of course, we love the Bible verse down in verse 12. There is no other name to preach in. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's all about that name. I was telling my CE class this week that it was kind of a humorous thing. When I was a kid, somebody was, they were just talking about how churches were having services out of the People magazine. And different things, you know, you won't need your, you know, so it was, so imagine that church service where, all right, folks, turn in your Bibles to the nearest usher. We won't be needing them tonight. And then open your People magazine and we'll go from there. And I remember, what in the world? Why would you have a church service without the Bible? I was on the phone with a visitor from two Sundays ago, an 80-year young, that's what she put on her visitor card. She's 80 years young. And she came as Miss Pat's visitor, Miss Pat Klett, and she came, and so I was on the phone with her, just thanking her for coming, and she said, "Boy, I really enjoy being in your church. I've been to different churches, and it seems like a lot of people will have services about life hacks, you know, different tips for I don't know, cleaning your house, or you know, investing so you can be a millionaire by." You know, 36, I don't know, but all sorts of life hacks. And she says, do you think churches need to be talking about Jesus more? And I said, ma'am, I'm reminding myself that as much as I think I do, I probably don't talk about him enough. Yes, ma'am, churches, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to talk about Jesus, and I won't get through everything tonight, but I want to bring up your relationship with Jesus. Do you belong to him? And you're like, I want everyone to know. Do you belong to him? Are you being built up by him right now? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you yoked up with him, and are you learning? Right? Oh, no, that's something I did. I got saved. I went to the discipleship, whatever. I took the class. I got the T-shirt. Learning is something that everyone else... No. Are you tonight, do you belong to him? Are you being built up by him? Are you yoked up with him? Are you learning of him? Like he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I don't know, some of that stuff, you walk with the Lord and you enjoy His teaching and just the Holy Spirit guides you in the Word of God. Are you being built up by Him? And then lastly, are you busy for Him? Are you busy for Him? Do you belong to Him and you want everyone to know? Are you being built up by Him? Are you yoked up with Him and you're learning of Him? And are you busy, busy for Him? Take up your cross, He said, and follow Me. And again, if you follow Him, if you're following, He'll make you to become fishers of men. What are you doing in the soul winning ministry? What are you doing to bring others to Christ? What is your giving look like? As far as I want to drop this money in, I want to make sure missionaries can go all over the place. If there's souls being brought to Christ, I want to be a part of it. If you're following Him, you'll be busy with that. And if you're not busy with that, chances are you aren't following Him like you should be. So what is the life of the believer all about? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So when you belong to Jesus, what does that make you? Well, it makes you a Christian and a conqueror, all because you belong to Jesus, right? A saint and a soldier. He makes you that when you belong to Jesus, a pilgrim and a priest, all because you belong to Jesus, a believer and a brother, all because you belong to Jesus. It's wonderful to belong to Christ. He gives us a place in His family. He begins to teach us what it means to be a part of His family, right? I tell my kids, you're Mitchells. Act like it. So again, it's not backwards, is it? It's not like they need to act like it in order to become Mitchells. No, they're in my family. Act like it. You have a position. Now have a practice that's working on catching up to the position you have. So if you're saved, you're a child of the King in heaven. And for the rest of our life, we have that position. And for the rest of our life, we want to, Lord, teach me what it means. May the practice of my life catch up to the position I cherish to be one of Your children. Oh my, it's good to know the Lord. Are you a disciple of His? Disciple, that idea is found in the Bible, that word in the New Testament. Not always referring to disciples of Christ. We'll look at that word a little bit here. There were disciples of John. There were those that said we're disciples of Moses. We'll look at that. There were some that said the Pharisees sent their disciples. We'll look at that verse as well. But disciples, who are we following tonight? Discipleship is an important concept for every believer. And again, it's going to be more than an admiration for or a sentimental attachment to Jesus. It's great if you have an admiration for Jesus and a sentimental attachment to Jesus, but discipleship goes beyond those things. A disciple, Webster's 1828, a disciple, a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another. So again, not all disciples in the New Testament were necessarily disciples of Jesus, but one who follows another, follows the teachings and conforms to those teachings. A follower and adherent. This is the second definition. In Webster's, a follower and adherent to the doctrines of another, hence the constant attendants of Christ were called His disciples. And hence all Christians are called His disciples as they profess to learn and receive His doctrines and precepts. So again, as far as discipleship, if more than just singing the songs about the name of Jesus is so sweet, just like that elderly lady who said, "Do you suppose churches need to be talking more about Christ, more about Jesus?" Yes, ma'am. And I'm one person that I need to be talking more about Him. So just three areas, and we'll get to just the first one tonight. But again, the Bible does tell us if in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So I kind of see there, deny himself, make sure that my identity is lost in his. I belong to him. No more about what I want. What he wants is what matters now. And that second part, take up his cross. What does it mean? Well, I think we can very much link that to being yoked up with Christ, suffering the shame and reproach that he did. I belong to him. And I'll go through whatever shame and reproach that means. He went through shame and reproach, and I am not better than my master. I want to be yoked up with him. So he says, when you're yoked up with him, you're learning of him. So take up his cross and then follow me. Being busy for him. What are we doing right now to bring souls to Christ? Those three things, deny thyself. I belong to Jesus, and I want everyone to know I am not my own. I'm being built up by Jesus. I'm yoked up with him. I'm learning of him, and I never intend to stop. Are you in training right now? We have a Bible college here, and church folks, don't think yourself separate from the Bible college. Pray for these young people. And if there's a class you can jump into, jump into it. Don't just assume, that's for them. So when a class like the Bible module comes up, I would like our church members to say, I want to be a part of that. I can't. But what? I can buy the book and watch the classes? I want to be learning. And I don't want that to stop. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm a disciple of his. I'm being built up. I am learning. I belong to Jesus. I'm being built up by Jesus. And I'm busy for Jesus. If we follow him, he says to take up his cross and follow me. And what does he say? If we follow him, he'll make us to be fishers of men. Busy for him. So tonight, we'll just look at that first one, denying ourselves. I belong to Jesus. My identity is lost in his. Again, we get so full of ourselves, even college students, Bible college students. Your roommate could come to you and say, hey, that right there, you and I both know that doesn't please Jesus. Well, what does that matter? What do you mean, what does that matter? Do you belong to him or don't you? Your identity should be lost in his. It should be all about what pleases him. Bible college student, if somebody comes up to you, one of your fellow, how dare they? If they come up to me and say, hey, I care about you. I love you. And you and I both know that that is not pleasing to God. Can you say, thank you. Thank you. Because I belong to him. And I want everyone to know that I belong to him. Who are you following? That was a big question in the Bible in Jesus' day. Of course, there were disciples that followed John there in Matthew 9:14. Of course, John was a good person to follow. He was the forerunner of Christ, and of course he said right there, behold the Lamb of God. So he was a good person to learn from and to follow. Matthew 9:14. Of course, as he followed him, he could say, follow me as I point out the forerunner of Christ, or he was a forerunner, but Christ himself. Matthew 9:14, then came to him the disciples of John, so the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? So there were disciples of John in the New Testament. There were disciples of the Pharisees. The Bible talks about them in Matthew 22, verses 15 and 16, Bible says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples, So interesting, they were the disciples of the Pharisees. So not every time the word disciple is used in the Bibles is it talking about the 12 disciples or followers of Christ. Here were the disciples of the Pharisees, and they were sent with the task of trying to wrap up Christ in his words. They sent him unto him their disciples, and of course they, "Master, we know that thou art true." But their goal was to wrap him up in his words. There were also disciples of Moses. And this isn't necessarily a bad thing. Hopefully that means they pulled out the Old Testament law and studied those things. Disciples of Moses talks about them in John 9, 28. They reviled him. These particular disciples were using their following of Moses as an excuse not to follow Christ. And that's kind of interesting, huh? So they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." So they're saying, we study Moses, and we conform to his teachings. And again, Moses, of course, God used him to write scripture. There's important things that Moses wrote that we need to be following. But sometimes you can find somebody, you know, it's real convenient to have someone you're following that isn't alive anymore, right? It's like we follow, and then we, again, Moses isn't there to say, "You guys, what in the world? You're not following me. If you're following me, I'm going to tell you, he's the fulfillment of everything the Bible wrote about. Follow him. Don't use my teachings to act like we're not following Jesus, we're following Moses." No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And again, that even just reminds us that sometimes we can be disciples of you guys. You have a church, right? You have a church. You have a pastor. You have pastors. You have men that are guiding you, and you'll be tempted to. I was reading this week. I was reading a sermon, and the sermon title was "There's No Pastor Like Your Pastor." And so he was talking about going and somebody that had been coming to church wasn't coming to church. And so he went to follow up and visit with them and said, "Where have you been? I missed you on Sunday." And of course, he started sounding all spiritual at first. He was like, "Well, every day is church for me. I have a rotation of pastors that I listen to on the computer or on my phone or whatever. So I follow them now." And so the pastor, you know, just real simple, is just like, "Okay, so when you get into an accident, they're going to be the ones visiting you in the hospital. They're going to be the ones counseling you when you have those needs. They're going to be the ones saying, hey, that particular thing, I got to tell you, I don't think God's pleased with that. I'm begging you to steer clear of that." They're going to come to your house, and when you're skipping church, like God says to be in church, are they going to be on your doorstep? And praise the Lord, the young man was like, in a sense, he had begun following Moses. It's nice to follow somebody who isn't there in your face. And you can take whatever you want. You can cherry pick what they have to say. If it doesn't coincide with what you think already, you can just leave that to the wind. And if something is like, "Oh, I like that. That seems to conform with the things I like to do." And maybe it really doesn't, but you can take it out of context. Who knows? Or maybe you can find a teacher that will agree with whatever you need them to on the internet. So now the truth is, we don't have Jesus here with us either, do we? But God does have his representative in his place, right? God does give us pastors. Praise God for the pastor I grew up with, and I didn't like being corrected. Young person, I didn't like being corrected. But it's something we grow, and we're like, "Lord, thank you for the people that risked my wrath. How dare you? You will pay with silent treatment, muttering under my breath." What's that? Nothing. I was a young person. I did it too, and it's wrong. It's wrong. You got to mature past that. Lord, thank you for an actual flesh and blood teacher and a pastor and mom and dad that will be there in my face and say, "Hey, that's not right." Or, "Hey, this opportunity, I think you should think about jumping on board. Why don't you jump into that?" "I don't know, it just cut into my me time." Well, maybe you should pray about more things cutting into your me time and have more him time. And so it's nice to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and of course God has representatives in his place. Disciples of John, disciples of Pharisees, disciples of Moses, and there were even others in 1 Corinthians 1:12. Even Paul himself, the church was divided. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. And then another part of the church said, oh yeah? Well, my group is even better than yours. I am of Apollos, and he's so eloquent. And then others like, well, I am of Cephas. I follow Peter. And then, of course, there's the extra religious person that says, I am of Christ. I have the WWJD bracelet to prove it. And so we have a church that was divided. And so even, you know, Jesus had taught this back in Matthew 23, verses 8 through 10. He says, and be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Fairhaven Church, all ye are brethren. And it's easy for us to look down our noses at some other section of the church, right? But if we can all be facing the same direction, we like the triangle, don't we, for husband and wife. Husband and wife, if husband and wife are both aimed at Christ, the more they move toward Christ, the closer they're getting to one another. Well, you can expand that to a whole bunch of tangents, or however they are, a bunch of sides, wherever. You can take the whole church family, all of us, every single one of us. It's good for husband and wife, but it's good for a church family, every single one of us, to be facing the same direction. And if the entire church is saying, he matters, and I've lost my identity into his, pleasing him. And if somebody comes to me and says, listen, that's not pleasing, that's like, thank you, thank you. And by the way, you've got to be praying that prayer, search me, O God, and try my heart, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You've got to be praying that prayer in Psalm 139. Show me, O God, if I'm not doing something right. And in the entire church, if every single one of us is all of us coming together toward Christ, the whole church family, growing together. What did he say? Be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. As a church, let's be all about Christ. Let's be brethren. Let's agree that it's all about him, and know a sweet unity as a result. It says in verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. I don't know. I think of Levi, Luke's brother, Levi Armacus. Sometimes little kids are born with a head that's a lot bigger than the body they're matched up with for a while. So you've got this big head, and you've got this body that's kind of small, and you think, well, the body will catch up to the head at some point. And Dr. Schreiber knows, Dr. Strauss loves to use that illustration, where we have a full-grown, perfectly mature head, don't we, as a church? Who's our head? Christ. Oh, he's full grown and perfectly mature and entirely wonderful. And we have a body growing up into our head. It's a wonderful thing to do. We've got growing to do. And we're gonna have growing to do. Until the Lord takes us off this earth, we have growing to do. Church, we have growing to do. Our head has no growing to do. Aren't you glad? No growing to do. But we need to be careful to grow up into the head that we have. Christ Jesus, it's an exciting thing. So Jesus had disciples. What do we see them doing? How did they interact with their teacher? So we see Jesus as a teacher, his disciples came unto him. Ooh, There in Matthew 5:1, they came unto him. Matthew 13:36, they came unto him. In Matthew 14:15, they came unto him. In Matthew 15:12 and 15:23, they came unto him. In Matthew 18:1, etc., they came unto him. A disciple is one that comes unto him. We should oft be coming to Christ, oft be coming to the Lord, oft be coming to God in our time of devotion, oft be making sure, Lord, I want to be yoked up with you and I want to be learning from you. I belong to you. His disciples oft came to him. How oft are you coming to him? Jesus often called them to his side. Sounds like a good shepherd, doesn't it? A good shepherd that calls and his sheep would know that voice and come to him. So they would come to him, and then off Jesus would call them to his side. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude. And again, it's like, oh, good for you. Thanks for sharing. No, when Jesus has come to me, I have compassion on the multitude. He intends for us to share the compassion for the people he has a compassion for. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. I have compassion on them and I want them taken care of. His disciples came to him. Also Mark 12:43 and Luke 6:13 and Luke chapter 9 verse 1. Jesus called them and they rallied to his side. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There are times he calls. Do you feel do you sense his calling on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, a Thursday night? The doors being open. Oh, he's calling and I have to be there. I'm a disciple of his. Times of quiet time in his word. Times where you're obeying that command to be still and know that he is God. He called them to his side. Does he call you to his side? Do you find yourself at his side often when he calls? So Jesus as a teacher, but also Jesus as a master, he commanded them. Matthew 8:18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. So Jesus felt like he could command his disciples. He could give commandment. Yes. Yes, he did. And when he commanded, they obeyed. Also Matthew 11:1 and Matthew 14:22. Is Jesus at liberty to command you? So again, discipleship has to go beyond a fondness or a sentimental attachment or an admiration. Does your discipleship go beyond those things where you can command? Do you oft tell them, Lord, whatever it is, whatever it is. Lord, you want me to go to the mission field? And again, part of me says, no, stay here. But no, I want what he wants. And as your pastor... Lord, the moment you set wherever you want me to go, you're the master, you're the commander. Lord, if you call me to the mission field, if you whatever you tell me, I'm gonna do because you're the commander. I'm gonna follow you. And again, lest we all think, yeah, I'm pretty good in this discipleship thing. Peter also thought he was pretty good with this discipleship thing, didn't he? Peter thought he was super in good shape. He's like, and then there's going to be a time when all will desert me. And Peter's like, yeah, maybe other people. Maybe other people. But it's interesting. They used that word disciple that night he denied Christ. It says in John 18:25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself and said, and they said, therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. Remember, true to truly be a disciple of His, to live a life that says, I belong to Him and I want everyone to know it. Again, Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And then he invites Peter to pray with him, and Peter doesn't think he needs prayer, or he's just overcome with tiredness. The need doesn't overpower. And again, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, and don't worry, Lord, I'll be there when the time comes. And he wasn't. How about you? How about you? Do you oft pray that prayer in the model prayer? Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lord, I'm not, without your help, I'm not ready for that moment. I'll fall on my face like Peter did. And I want the world to know I belong to you. And in that pressure moment, Lord, I'm not going to be ready unless you help me. And I want to be ready, so I'm relying on you now before the moment comes. Fear caused him not to identify with Jesus. And if he could get there to that place where he could say, are you a disciple of his? No. No, I'm not. If he could get there, so can we. So again, it must be more than an admiration for and a sentimental attachment to the Lord. Are you really a disciple of his? And by the way, praise the Lord. Jesus did his work on Peter, didn't he? He spent that precious time with him in John 21 at the side of Galilee and other times. And Peter found his boldness, not from within. He found his boldness. By the way, what did we read at the beginning? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that person had some boldness. Not like this Peter guy saying, no, I don't belong to him. Here with the religious, now that whoever that is, that person had some boldness there. Well, the next verse says this. When they saw the boldness of Peter. Where did they find that boldness? Well, a prayerless Peter had become a prayerful Peter up in that upper room, huh? He found that boldness in Christ. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, college students, hey, there's hope for us, right? They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Boy, do people around you today, I can tell you, did you spend time with Jesus in his word? Are you a disciple of his in an ongoing fashion? Well, you belong to him and you want everyone to know you love him so dearly. You belong to him. You're being built up by him even right now. And you're busy for him. I don't remember the illustration exactly, but I remember hearing the story about a couple of guys. I think it was a foreign country. They stormed into a church building and threatened to kill all those who truly belonged to Jesus. Those who didn't really identify with Christ were free to leave. After quite a few people filed out, the rest of the folks sat there nervously watching them. Then the men said, anybody else? And then they set down their guns and said, okay, preacher, we got all the fakes out. Now let's have church. Would you be sitting there or outside? Of course, I don't condone this. Security team, I don't condone that. No ideas. But do you belong to him? And by the way, there are so many things out there that want to steal away our attention, right? So many things. I was talking this morning to the staff, but Brother Porzinski was just talking about how technology just dominates your attention to the point where you don't even realize you're not giving him any more. It just dominates your attention. I was reading this this article on video games, and there was an excerpt from an MSNBC article where wives whose husbands are hooked on video games, and the MSNBC article called them game widows. Game widows, women who had lost their husbands to the gaming world. They used to have a relationship, but something had stolen it away. So the MSNBC article said, though their spouses and partners haven't gone to the great beyond, these particular widows and widowers, so women getting attached to video games and other technology, whatever, but widows and widowers say their loved ones have gone someplace that's almost as distant and unsearchable. Some have left this world for the world of Warcraft. Others have forsaken this life for Second Life, and still others have taken control, taken away by EverQuest and Final Fantasy. Dark Age of Camelot is in this article. As he ranks, as the ranks of those playing video games in general and massively multiplayer online games in particular continue to grow, so grow the ranks of those who refer to themselves as game widows. They are husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends of gamers whose playing habits have consumed their lives. The bereaved say their mates have suffered a kind of digital death that has left only a shell of the person they loved behind. And like real death, it has left the people who remain heartbroken, scared, and angry. Again, there are so many things that can steal. The little foxes spoil the vine, don't they? So many little things that fill our time, and then suddenly, I'm not spending much time with Jesus. I'll come to church and sing, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. But my life is filled with everything else. Preacher, do you think the churches ought to be talking more about Jesus? Yes, ma'am. Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with this short time of invitation. Lord, help us to have more than an admiration for you, O God, and the Lord Jesus. More than a sentimental attachment to him, Lord. Help us to identify those things that are monopolizing our time. Lord, the disciples came to you oft. When you called, they rushed to your side. You were able to command them. Lord, they waited on you. Lord, they were near to you. Help us to be the disciples we ought to be, ones that will come to you, Lord. Deny ourselves. Take up our crosses and follow you. Help us, Lord, to say, I belong to Jesus, and I want the entire world to know. Help us with that. I ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. If you